It's my.
Thank you.
die Mehrmachtszeit gehört zu den Geschichten, viele Geschichten, aber die in Spanien, so dass er eben die Polen weiß, wer mich in der Repräsentation. So, we really appreciate if you can give us a presentation and then we will be able to make copies for the members so that they can be able to follow me, because it's very easy when they like notes or their documents, and when there are issues that they need to ask. And like when you're speaking, some of the things in call by the wayside, so we appreciate it and all that document. Maybe while also doing that, can we just wait for the documents? I don't know, honorable members, I'm speaking on it here. Can we wait for the document while it's being produced? And then we go into the other business. Okay? We will just wait for the document to be produced and then we go into the other business. I want to advocate Nair to take us through the template. I'm sure all members have received the template yesterday that we requested. We should be sent to the department, take us through, and so that we are able to endorse or add or remove some of the things that we have been doing with the template. We believe that everybody should be able to come and report in the same framework.
Sorry, leaning over my manager because my mic is gone. We drew up a presentation template for when the committee has to consider the strategic plans and the APPs when we return in May. The template is based on the guides that we normally use when we do our report. So it should help us to be able to draft the report the same for all the entities, because sometimes you see the discussion on Sunroll in our previous report differs slightly from, for example, the discussion on Trump. This way we can have a uniform one, but they always look at similar issues. This will also assist the committee so that we can get the most information out of the briefing session in the short time frame that we do have. Along with the template, Valerie has also drawn up the new program with the entities now inserted for the proposal yesterday that we see two entities today. Considering the repercussions that it will have on the program, I'm hoping that members will also consider that we look at maybe pushing for three entities today, because I think it is doable to do three entities on, especially our full long day. According to the presentation, I just divided it up into seven main slots for them to work in. So the second page of the presentation is just the index. On the third page, I took a slide from a presentation that the AG has done to one of the portfolio committees, just as sort of the guideline for how committees should work when they are monitoring the progress and the delivery by the department. So the guideline actually fits in very nicely with the way that we normally do our reports. The first topic we need the entities and the departments to present on is how their plans link in with the NDC, the NTSF, and Sona's presentation of this year. An example that I just cited there would be the key initiatives of the department over the medium term framework, and then they would list those. They would have to do the same for the NDP and our the SONA presentation. The next one is focus on the presentation linking with the AG's recommendations from last year's annual report. Because we didn't see all the entities, this would assist us to use that feedback as well, so that they can at least show us how they have implemented the recommendations from the AG in drawing up their new APP, whether or not they will be able to remedy the recommendations that were made. The one that follows after that is similar to the portfolio committee's recommendations that were made in our previous Stratplan and APP report, as well as the B4R report. So we are hoping that the APPs and the department will be able to once more show how they have incorporated the committee's recommendations. This will assist us to have good guidelines for our oversight so that we can also monitor that going forward. Any changes in the strategic plans would be next. Not all the entities amended their strategic plan. So this is what the slide on the next will be shorter for them. But the department has made a few changes in specifically target date changes for legislation. So this is the department will then highlight challenges that they saw from the previous stress plan, and that would be one of the reasons why they would have had to change it. And then also looking at risks being highlighted and mitigation plans. That's normally when they do see that they're not going to meet the target, that they would propose a change for the APPs or the stress plan. Then the next one would be a presentation on targets, to look at the targets that are carried over from the previous APP. So a long-term target like the modernization program would be an example here. Any targets like the RAPS bill is also one of those examples, and then whatever new targets they have. If they have finalized the target, ticked it off, what's the new work that we're going to do in next year? Then we have the effects on the entity by legislation program changes. Quite a few of our entities are affected in terms of their revenue generation by new proposed legislation and the financial viability of them going forward. You can only look at the RAX as one of the examples there. So in this slide, they would have to just indicate how the legislation target changes in terms of the department's change to its strat plan will now be affecting them and their planning going forward. And then on the last slide, we have any identified budget constraints and proposals for revenue generation from those entities that do require revenue generation and do not get revenue directly from the department for their programs. They would have to focus on challenges regarding budget allocation, as well as changes in the revenue collection proposals. For example, they are used to e-coding and GSOC, how the funding project changed there. For generating revenue-generating entities, there should be information on how the revenue collection would be realistically proposed to be increased. And then the liquidity of some of our entities are also of a concern, so they would have to highlight the situation there and how they would propose to review it. So any input that members have, if they're happy with the proposed template or if we need to include something else, we would appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much, Advocate. Are you members? Are there additional things you want to put? Honorable Musinga, I can see your name, Honorable Masonani, and then Honorable Lamalaka.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Allow me firstly to say thank you for this, for the work and the input. I think it's a great framework and certainly a very useful template. So that one gets to the essence of the discussion, what the main objective then is for this presentation. If I could then also ask, in terms of the implementation of the AG's recommendations, we're working on the assumption that there would be progress in terms of implementation. So I wanted to suggest that we should also consider then including a column for reasons if there hasn't been any progress on implementation, because some of the programs have been originated in times when budgets look differently. So certainly because of reasons of budgeting or some other operational reason there might be a reconsideration of implementation. So just a column that would give us an indication of which recommendations were not taken up and then the reasons for that. The second thing I would like to comment on would be the field that we address in terms of budget and budget constraints. Certainly all entities are experiencing the current climate of a restricted budget environment. So therefore, I would also appreciate, or can we consider a column that would give us an indication of, given the budget constraints, what mitigating factors have been undertaken. and also maybe mitigation in terms of rearrangement of priorities of certain programs and content within those programs. So those would be the two things that I would ask for consideration. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the issue that I want to raise at the report of the GDS with the system, my brother has a big value in my teacher who is the team. So, what are they supposed to do? Not understand. We are telling them the template after the fact. They have to come with the summary. But because if we didn't like what they said us, like the process is strange on their side. And they would might regard that as unfair. And we do that after they go to the present. So I think the approach I will talk to them. Not for them, but for the purpose of the meeting. This is what we require you to do. So that they have a better understanding why are we bringing this template. So I thought the process is very, very important. Otherwise, they might get confused. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Masogani. You asked a question in the beginning. They responded to you, which I think the advocate has captured that the essence is that we'll go through the those reports, but for the purpose of the meeting on that particular day, we expect them to do account in a particular manner. Mm-hmm. And that is the manner of the within which we have framed the template. Honorable Ramadana.
Thank you,
Honorable
Chair. In my opinion, was that not just to send us the documents, our quality documents, the presentation should follow this standard in order to get to the actual needs. The report can be long. So I support this. But just a quick question, Chair, from the section that we use with the AG. Almost all the departments will find that there is a discussion around the FCS. One of the reasons the supply chain is always the troubling there as to whether it is appropriately appropriately deployed to the local chief. I think the department should
number two, which is what we need a lot, is a person. If you can recall, there were most of the time, 30 years ago, everybody is worried about the process of checking and what's our chief, whether the department is actually achieving that. You can recall that our wine was such. Most of the time, the focus is in the measures, and nothing is going so much in other groups by in rural areas. I'll be very much happy if we can achieve that. Can you touch on some of these things?
Thanks, Jay. Let me also join my other colleagues in welcoming the presentation. Chair, if I look at the proposed program that is in front of us, I think the 2nd of May is still far. We are going on the research now. What I think we should do as a committee through our secretary is to have this document and what is also proposed in the House now to be forwarded to the department so that when they come and report, they use the very same format that we have agreed upon. I think if they can do that, Chair, I'll be fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. I think everything has been set up. Advocate, I think transformation and transformational issues are for staffing matters, and therefore it will not be a standalone item as such, but we should be able to indicate what are the issues of transit in terms of your supply chain, your budget, and everything. The board, what are the systems that are in place to ensure that they are living up to the ideals of a transforming society. I think, for everything, I don't know if there's issues that you'd like to talk to the committee on so that we can be able to move on. Honorable members, the presentation by Santamo has been sent to your electronic gadget, so you will have to open your gadget, and in the meantime, we'll be waiting from the gadget. Those that want that were chopped trees, for them to have paper. I champion the issue of paper. So if you can just open your laptops and your iPads so that you are able to move forward.
I just put the tables and columns in at this point in time because I wasn't exactly sure of all the parameters that we would like us to have there. I can do a mock table. I'm just afraid that we might limit some of the content even more if we do a prescribed table, but I will put it in as a guideline that they need to address those issues as well, so that they know exactly what they have to do under those guidelines, so that we can, in a sense, give them a little bit of freedom with the columns and the template presentation. I think it's definitely the transformation issue. We can bring in with even every slide, we can add it to discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we will proceed with the Santaco presentation. I don't know how many pieces have been chopped, but the documents have arrived. So, we are at your menu.
From
transported money for the other, then the 3,161. The number of hours each day the driver works today, about 6.33. Our average number of hours that the driver spends daily on the road is 28. Average time spent daily in the taxi by passengers is 5 minutes. And the average number of trips per passenger a day is 2.3. And this is important for our motivation data. We draw our angle of the presentation from our 5 products, which is the Sokomela Logistics campaign. As the reason for this presentation. And the reason why we launched this campaign was mainly to respond to endeavors to reduce and contribute towards the elimination of tax-related road accidents. And simultaneously demonstrate our love and care for the commuters who are the source of our income. The key objectives of the Sokomela campaign, I will pick up a few there, is to significantly contribute to the reduction of road accidents through checking and monitoring of accidents at different checkpoints. To provide support mechanism for drivers in case they have challenges to maintain. To work hand in hand with traffic officials to promote road safety. And to eliminate bad elements and improper conduct from our taxi drivers and operators. To create mechanisms to receive and also provide feedback to the commuters on the experience of the journey and the conduct of drivers, especially on long distances. To establish a culture of compliance to road safety and traffic laws and speed limits. Now, back to the reason why we are here. we would want to record, as a matter of principle, our broad consent in as far as transportation consent before we narrow it down to action. We agree to consent on how the development and the implementation of laws within the transport sector have grown to negatively affect the taxi industry. And we take this cue from the public transport strategy, which was where government committed to say the taxi industry, the new state of DRT project, to the National Land Transport Act, where two critical elements of the taxi business were removed. Firstly, which is the fundamental right of the lifespan of tariffs and the removal of the transit, which is loss of revenue for the owner. The absence of synergy between the operating licensing board and various law enforcement agencies, the decisions that are taken and how the synergized communication between the various spheres of government to ensure that what has been decided upon is thoroughly communicated and therefore law enforcement is in harmony with the decisions made by national government. We equally remain concerned, Chairperson, by some conflicted government officials who are charged with strategic positions that deal with disrelated matters in government departments. These officials often happen to be the source of conflict and violence in the taxi industry. The recent Health and Transport Committee report is a case in point. We have subsequently also written a letter to both the Minister of Police as well as the Acting National Commissioner of Police as an attempt on our part to facilitate a meeting where we discuss this conflict and, you know, practical measures that could be put in place to ensure this can be eliminated. We are still waiting for a response. And talking about ARCO, which we cannot necessarily separate from the areas of concern that we have just raised. Our interest would be largely based on issues around communication of infringement. The expert delivery and how that would impact on the, or how would the possible interruptions of business in terms of those infringements. And here we are talking about the time when the operator would say, I'm not the one who committed the infringement, but then it's supposed to demonstrate that this was committed by a particular driver, and that figures how it may possibly affect the taxi operator's business in terms of the shop or the vehicle being encountered. Our position, however, is that leaders in South Africa has plunged into a society of civil disobedience. And despite the unhesitant belief by people that we are taking the lead in this civil disobedience, we have adopted the Tokomela campaign precisely to recommit the industry to road safety and ensure that taxi operators and drivers assume equal responsibility in support of government initiatives. Last year in December, when we were experiencing a spate of this accident, the president of Santaco made a pronouncement that Santaco wants to become friends of the court, where all the taxi drivers who are involved in accident deaths that have led to loss of life are given harsher punishment. And this is excluding our own internal processes as a system. We believe that even if ARCO may have well-intended objectives to deal with issues of road safety, we believe this can be achieved through a very strong partnership. And this partnership would include, among other things, a decision campaign in the former structures of Santiago in the city rank through collaborative efforts. We were part of the launch of the RPA mobile offices in Soweto. Santaco has also its own mobile training facility where we visit the rest. And we believe when we start together in terms of education of what we need out of it and how it can benefit and assist in terms of road safety measures, there will be a different perception to the current situation. And in principle, we accept the diary for TAPA action that would contribute towards behavioral change as opposed to, you know, a program of, you know, creating the wheel. We therefore support the objectives of ARCO Amendment Bill, and that comes with our conditions as well. And we look at taxi operations, we look at the merit system, and we look at the import. And I think we have spoken about communication, which would largely be driven by, you know, the technology infrastructure and law enforcement systems that are beyond the scope. And while we build the diverse system and also its appeal as a solution to effective response in dealing with offenders, we also want the appeal to appear to take into consideration the uniqueness of the taxi industry. And therefore try to find how best to apply the diverse system in terms of the taxi industry. Earlier I spoke about some small steps on taxi operation and motivating further, we are saying taxi drivers or taxi operations happen about 16 hours in a day. I think it's good that that needs to be for at least 6 minutes of the commitment of operation. And this is on a daily basis. And as a result of that, this infringement about to happen. And because of the number of hours spent by these drivers on the road, we also see our road infrastructure and the absence of safety facilities in terms of dropping and collecting as another contributing factor to this infringement. Because in the way you would find drivers are led by commuter preferences that in actual fact where they should be dropped and collected. And therefore these conditions make taxi drivers find themselves to be prone to be the first culprits or the first target to face the suspension of their licenses in terms of the emergency. And this is if the amendment process is not considered for the subsequent we have just made about the increase of the taxi demand. And we are seeing this referring to the case study of the period when taxi capitalization program was implemented, where government promoted exiting of the taxi industry as an option. And our view was it is not right to encourage a person whose only livelihood has been that to act. Be that as it may, that promotion was encouraged, and at a later stage government realized that this was having a socio-economic impact. Because this man takes the 50,000, instead of investing it into another business, he takes it and goes on holiday or eats it there, and then thereafter you are sitting with a person who is unemployed. And the removal of 150 minutes, therefore, we have a challenge of a driver who also remains unemployed, and therefore you talk about the families that are affected. On equals, we are saying, despite cases being exempt from paying pitfalls, the implementation of this announcement has not really been smooth. We have had challenges in terms of those city operators who's been receiving some form of letters for collection and so on. And we are raising these issues, chapter committee members, not as a way of trying to antagonized government processes or well-intended processes, but simply to say, within the context of our good relationship that we enjoy with the Department of Transport, the Minister of Transport in particular, these are the challenges that we also continue through those processes, those platforms rather, continue to engage on. We are also mindful that road carriage has become so serious that it is an economic threat. And then we need to collaborate to see that all costs. Because for us as the safety industry, the safety of our commuters is a huge responsibility. More so that there are also socio-economic implications to this. But also the investment of the taxi owner is another factor which, if not addressed, has its own challenges in terms of the entrepreneurial activity. So, we are saying, as a matter of principle, can TAMPO support the ARTO Amendment Bill within the context of the promotion of road safety? And
change of behavior, creating an environment where we've got safer homes, safer vehicles, and therefore this becoming, you know, continuous education for road users to become obedient to laws on the road. Chapter 10, I've intentionally cut some of the things to also avoid the dedication. I was a real presenter to avoid the dedication to make the outcome. Right.
we only bring in the contract, the bank will be released, and all the road still has to go for the bank, and whether the next water pump or whatever, but there's no car anyway. It's a specific destination where it's supposed to be. Now, if I have to go a little bit further, if we look at what my friend has emphasized, the question of the look at the solar buses from the state, at the front is given to people with triple the size, but along the way when it gets home, you find the same even where you got the certificate of fitness as well. But then you take time to have another little thing, they say, no, you are not supposed to be having buses, and now they have dropping from 22 plus 1 down to 21. Now it's having an impact, and we still believe we get confused as to what actually happened. Because of course, it's coming to someone who has participated in the recapitalization program. It doesn't make sense to us. But let alone that they have decided to get rid of the CR towards the end of 1997. So, to me, I still believe we've got a challenge around the question of capitalization. We still have to revisit it again to see if it has benefited the people. Thank you.
Honourable members, a critical issue that has been raised on the tax, I think this should be one of the aspects that when we come back from research, we are able to look into, because remember we have requested the unit on public transport to say you have revised the tax recap and therefore you need to be briefed on the matter. But I think probably the decision that we may want to go into as this committee is when we do invite the department to come and brief us on the revised model of the tax recap, we may want to get the stakeholders so that they look at the revised model and be able to say, in terms of what has been explained here, we are happy with this, we are not happy with this, and it becomes a holistic approach that they are having, because in the ultimate and in the bigger scheme of things, they are the user. We are just assisting in terms of making sure that they get very good assets which will be reliable and very safe. I think that's the proposal that I'm making to you, Honourable Members, to say, can we, as we will be dealing with the matter, considering the tax recap, invite the stakeholders so that they can be able to say they would be comfortable with the model that they will be looking at, as explained here. Agreed? Thank you very much. That's it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our presenter, when he started, he emphasized on collaboration between Santiago and ASU. Santiago is committed to changing the driver's behavior through its training academy in various provinces. The best way that Santiago will be handling that challenge is by way of working on a program where drivers shall no longer use driver's license and public permit as a criteria for employment. Santiago, in consultation with Transport CETA, have now introduced a qualification. A qualification which will entitle a driver to be a reputable driver to drive commuters. And that qualification consists of various programs. And we believe that will assist behavior of drivers. I just want to mention this.
you didn't mention the name.
My apology. My name is Bennett Africa, and I'm a national training officer for Central.
I could feel that as a teacher. I also get schooled as a teacher. Thank you very much. I think it's a very important aspect that the two collaboration and compassion. These are this is the message of the day that Santiago is preaching. Let's collaborate, let's partner on a number of issues in the interest of safety on our roads. That is what has been said. No barrage, Gary.
Chairperson, thank you very much. My name is Vernon Bullock, by the way. I think you heard from the inputs by my members that there are issues that are sticking points to the taxing that to Santiago. I'm happy that you've undertaken in this house to call us to a sitting that will deal with taxing recapitalization. But also, we would like to the committee to look at BRT and its implementation, because the BRT that we see happening is one that is replacing taxi operators with bus operations. And so we would like this committee to look at that and to invite us also to come and give our input into that. Coming to ARTO, Santiago supports the stated objectives of ARTO to make our roads safe and to improve law-abiding and safe driving behavior and thereby reducing road crashes. We are obviously not happy with the state of driving on our roads, the fact that we lose in excess of 14,000 people per annum on the roads through bad driver behavior. We are obviously not happy with the fact that our country spends billions on the after effect of these road damages, and therefore we support the ARTO. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, here we are, the presentation up to the moment. I will take us on issues as we take honourable Kusinga, honourable Vekas, honourable Ramashatan, honourable Maswaga, and along that line, honourable President Basu, honourable Sibande. Let me start, let me come. I can see the list, that's what I'm talking That's the language of Santiago. They use the seeds when they collect the money, so it can come from the same. Let's start from the bank.
Please make sure that you end over all the
steps.
It's like I'm departing from the depot, thank you for the presentation, and indeed it's a very useful engagement. Reflecting on all the other aspects that you alluded to, and I'm referring to the recapitalization program, also the whole issue around BRT and the different roles and functions, and also the turf, if you like, which taxis have, opposed to the role of bus services and the collaboration functions and the rules and regulations around that. We appreciate all of that. In particular, this session then deals with a particular aspect, which is ARTO in a particular form, which I'm sure you've looked at. Now, mindful of that, we're only dealing with ARTO today. We are keen to explore a bit more around what you refer to as that we should accept the uniqueness of the taxi industry. Apart from saying that you are in general support of R2, that you would like as an association also to contribute in terms of the importance of road safety, also to change people's behavior, and for people to become more obedient in general, opposed to all of us' experiences on the road. So we are very keen to hear, in terms of R2, in terms of this specific legislation, what is it that you agree with in R2? What is it that with the current status under construction and development of this particular legislation you are not happy with? Because that's where we are. And your opportunity to be part of this is an opportunity to be part of the development and the creation of something that would be most acceptable. Obviously, no legislation pleases everybody the whole time, but this is where we are at now. So please tell us, what are the elements, what is the content of your statement that the taxi industry should be taken in account, taken its uniqueness? What is that uniqueness? Are you saying that we should consider some form of pardoning of taxis? What are you saying? So I'm not suggesting any, I'm just saying, what is the content of what you are alluding to in saying we agree with R2, but there are things that you should take in mind. What are those things? That's what we are after for this issue. Thank you for your contribution.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks for the presentation. Chair, you read my mind. I was going to suggest that in the new term, or as soon as we can, that we slot in our program possibly more than one session, focusing on the taxi industry. There's a lot of issues that have come up today, which I would like to pin, and maybe ask the notes that we can kind of pin it for when we meet again, when we highlight it, so that today's focus is on art. There's just a few things I want to add to the mix. At least this was, I think, was only part of an agenda when we talk, when we get together later with the taxi industry. Because I don't believe the government has engaged enough. There are a lot of gaps. And part of there was talk about communication between spheres of government and so forth. We see, well, often we forget that the biggest, most successful black-owned business in this country is the taxi industry. And what's even more impressive is it grew out of an environment where black people were not allowed to grow economically. That tells you the kind of character that are in the industry. And despite all the barriers, they were able to make it. And this is a talent that was enhanced and grow on. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is I don't believe that cities and provinces are paying enough attention to city design and road design, and that obviously leads to our national governments. And of course then you're going to find the taxi are going to stop anywhere to load, unload their passengers, offload their passengers, because they don't have unload and offload curbs. And it's always something that nobody's been able to answer. You see, the driver in any city, I'm talking about cities because that's where the numbers are. And that's, I mean, where critical attention should happen. Where you'll drive a busy road and then the taxi will stop in the left lane because there are no facilities. So the first step is for government to facilitate these facilities so they can swerve into an area where they can unload or offload the passengers. It links to that once the government has committed and done that, physically designed and accommodated that, the next step is to make sure that the taxi owners, the drivers and the passengers are advised of where these pickup and offload points are. And then we are able to find taxi drivers in the South anyway. But at the moment, you can't really do that. And so they're flouting the law out of desperation. So it's a very complicated thing. So I just wanted to say that, because I think that must be discussed. I'm not asking for comments because the focus is on the answer, but I just wanted to pin that so that it stays on the agenda. It is mentioned here where the law is broken, and the law is broken, right? Then just very quickly is one of the questions I have while I'm going to my notes is, in your presentation, so your pages are outnumbered, but what you said here is that the RTI reconsider how it applies principles of legal assistance in taxis. You can unpack that. What do you mean by that? Have you got some ideas in mind? What is it that would you want to see in an RTI Act that would accommodate you in Tasmania? I must just say, your next page you then talk about, it says 20, but in your presentation 16 hours. Even if it says 16 hours, of the taxi drivers, that's actually illegal. So that's the kind of discussion that we need to have. It's not legal for anyone to drive that or to work for that amount of hours in one day. And those are the kind of discussions I want to see next time. We've talked about here the local commuters, that's something very important to know that's one of the problems. And then, I don't want to talk about it now, but we need to, at our session when we meet later in the year, is to talk about ETOLs. I don't understand when they say the implementation of not fully realized. But let's not focus on it today, because today's about answer. And then the last point I want to make, that we should also think for later, is two things. First of all, the standards of vehicles that we were concerned or spoke about, you could get cheaper versions of vehicles. But the reason they're cheap is because they're not very sturdy, they're not very reliable, and not road, they don't look really very long. And that's the issue we're talking about. However, the vehicles that are sturdy and are reliable and so forth are expensive. And this is where the discussion has to go into, because there's a conundrum in that the government simply doesn't have anywhere in the budget to be able to subsidize them. So we need to find creative, possibly different ways to subsidize the taxi industry in a different way possible. And those are all things we need to talk about. And then my last point is that there's a lot said about the stats, the road stats, and how taxis are contributing to the road stats. But if you actually analyze the road stats very carefully, considering the size and the amount of minibus taxis on the roads and so forth, they actually are a minuscule amount, relatively speaking. So we need to, you know, to get about perception and so forth, but the real facts say something else. So, those are my last ones. I'd just like to answer to those things that they need to ask.
Another
question?
Thank you, Dr. Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation from the delegation, and also appreciate the fact that they have answered to our plea. I am also thankful of the fact that they have also given us some steps, though we may say the steps is not object, but it may serve as a point of reference to us. Because sometimes we talk as if we are there in the industry, but not knowing exactly what is happening there, who is involved there, how many people are involved there, how many hours are they waiting there. Chairperson, I also again support your proposal that we must invite them and highlight specific areas of engagement, because now that they are in front of us, now they have killed two birds with one stone, which may serve as a positive to both of us. Chairperson, I also appreciate the fact that they are welcoming, they are in full support of the amendment, let alone what they have as their areas of concern. but I wanted to join my other colleagues in making this true that they must help us to help them in unpacking these areas, these three areas of concern. They are concerned about the principles of demerit system. What is it that they want us to consider? They are concerned about the full exemption that they need of the taxi owners. Will that be possible? If yes, what are we saying about other road users if we fully exempt them only as the taxi owners? Also, under the last area of concern, which is taxi operations, that's a broad statement. What is it that they want us to consider? Also, referring the matter to our legal team inside Parliament to say, how will this affect the very arguments that we had with other stakeholders that will be in front of us? Because as we have them today, they are not the only stakeholder that has made the presentation, and we have also adjusted what will be the situation if we can consider what they are proposing. Also, Chair, I would like to have a deeper insight on the issue that they are mentioning around the exemption of the industry in paying it tolls in December 2013. Was it said December 2013? Was it 2013 only, or are they exempted if now? It's just my other area of concern. Otherwise, Chair, I appreciate the presentation and also appreciate the support that they are pledging. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Assembly.
That
I think what cuts all about Alito was taken even to other areas beyond the four or five towns in Limpopo, for example. It will accommodate this problem of the drop off and the pick-up points for safety, because for buses in most towns they are provided for. And of course, Chairperson has raised the issue of the cessation on the capitalization, because this thing of removing the tax is in the grand role has been raised even by other stakeholders. I think this is the main issue of unions. The other colleagues have raised that. But I should point out that we should welcome the fact that Kansako supports the objectives of the Alfred Charter, which is the progress on our side. And I should be on the island, because I think this is the last stakeholder to decide before we go on. Thank you.
Our duty to try and convince, to echo my sentiment that we were very much hit, not in the presentation only, but in the presence of Santana. As a committee, if you can recall, there was a research. We won't achieve our goals if we don't take other people on board, in particular yourself and the people from the buses and urban structures. We might take the resources to be taken on board, because we felt very strong that you represent the constituency. And also, we're here for about your education, which receives officially when I pushed it in your airline. Nevertheless, I wanted to think a few things where we might in the subclassification, but also to join my colleagues to say your presentation is very, very powerful. In particular, Chairperson, the issue of Shakomena, you know, it's not an easy road. Very few people can think about such programs of educating people personally, because you are the ones who are affected more than us. No matter us, we can be affected, but you are the ones. And we have noticed that most of the time you are affected, because we said there was such a correction. Last week, a few weeks ago, your apology was based on some of you were busy with some of such programs, which have been powerful. And the start is really near. Second, my concern is that you see, they raised some concerns in their presentation, of which what they hope that if we can specifically get a certain way of the problem so that we can start moving to debate it. I'll put an example, and unfortunately you don't have any of your concerns and tackle concerns. You raised the above concerns, but the last bulletin in that page you said, especially to ask those cannot necessarily separate from the concern about official concerns to the above. Chairperson, my problem is that it has going to be very difficult if specific incarnations accept the issue of that one will not question the issue of happening, etc. But in terms of actor specific, so that we can know exactly, so that we can not make some mistakes, and also together with the department, address exactly what we have raised. I was going to say, if you are specific, to say, in after in particular, here is our concern, here is our concern, so that we can address. And also, you said, in one of your slides, you said there are two elements of TXC which were removed to bring the issue of the establishment of the National Demand TXC Act, if I'm not mistaken. I was looking very happy if maybe you did set exactly two elements, which were those elements, so that from our side, maybe we can start to discuss some of the effects which we feel that maybe we're not compatible with it. And then also, the person who wrote this was Mabesha, about officials who are social convicts. That one must be addressed as soon as possible. The first question on my side. Because also we must get exactly correct information must be given to the department so that it can be given to the relevant including police if possible to try to investigate if there are serious or serious measures. Because the loss of life were not easy. We can't live without you. Some of you mustn't forget that the measures represent a type of attitude. You are part of our parents. You are uncles, your fathers, etc. So those who are within the officials who are social convicts, something must be done urgently. And then just yes. So there is a conflict in general, but it's also the issue of that about our concept that it can be achieved with a very strong collaboration, partnership. It was definitely might have raised the level that please provide us with information exactly where you are not satisfied within the past so that it can be addressed, so that it can make your easier to say, easier, smooth on what you believe. And then lastly, I wanted to propose one or two. Also, may you please assist us then outside our presuming chief or soldiers, etc. Not everywhere, but somewhere out of example, it is alleged that if you are from Joget, maybe if you are from Joget in Bumala, if you are from Joget, going to Bethan, you can't get a taxi, but they will take you if you are going to Secunda or if you are going to MLO, and they will charge you the money to MLO, not the money to Bethan. But also, if you are from Bethan going to Joburg, that is much easier, the money goes well. So, what I'm trying to say, I'm stating an example. In those levels, in those lines, those cases which belong to you, will you please try and help the poor people because you are the ones who know those things better than us. So that we minimize some of these conflicts, unnecessary conflicts from our side. Chairperson, also lastly, there was a thing which was raised by Umama to but from my side, it's different because I believe and I understand that cases are exempted. May you please help us in exactly where is the problem is. Cases are, some of the cases are experiencing problems. Because it happens sometimes that some of the cases are not fair. When you leave, maybe you leave. How they come back in Joburg while you have the ticket for it. You don't tell your new master that she's still having a caravan which is following you. At the end, the day they caught you in the roadblocks, which you know, sometimes you fall part of them. And it creates a problem in terms of you are wet. What I'm trying to say, even then, help us to those drivers before. Educate the owners that before they hire a person, they must get proper information like addresses, etc., etc. I'll use an example. The laws in our day, before you get maybe if you go to the act before you give a president, then why do you approve the president? If you buy a phone, before they give you the phone, they want to approve a president. But with this industry, where is the problem? Why can't you get exactly the same? Because these people, when they come, they are the ones who are supposed to declare. But unfortunately, I don't think that some will declare. At the end, they put us in the limbo, in the greenhouse session of sex, then we change the
same. Initially, in my preamble before members started speaking, I said in the tax industry, when they collect money, it comes according to seed. So there was no how it can pass much longer than anything comes like this. It goes like this. So that's why it has to start from you.
I oppose to the utterances of the previous speaker to state he is happy about the delegation. I'm not chair. I'm very scared about transformation. Where are the men? There's not even an apology to say there's Mr. So and so who has apologized. Chairperson, it has to be corrected. Let me come to what I am. I just want to say, Chairperson. There is this chair that was said by one of our prisoners the other day, who said sometimes the department goes to them to share information instead of consulting them. And Chairman, we are not taking light this what was just said by the delegation to say there are officials that have contributed in this situation, but it's not for this meeting to discuss that. Let's share, maybe we'll find a way at least to listen to it further. Because it may not be correct, Chair, to be on the to be a referee and a player in the situation. But I'm very concerned about the delegation, Chair. Let's take this issue forward. Thank you.
Don't worry, we will go and become the executive member.
Yeah.
So that we can color. Yeah. Color blocking. So we will do that. Honorable Lanka.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And this fantastic presentation of mine. Let me start here. Thank you.
slide number 9 has numbered 9, but there was the original number, but the slide speaks about consent. The last bullet of the slide speaks about the made reference to SMS and email and open access and so on. And then you raised the question about the interaction, possible interaction, deferral of offenders. Now, I don't quite understand what you mean. Do you say, in the consideration of these, you would want a provision in the Act that deals with the interaction, so we call business interaction? And if so, what is it? Because it's not defined. You don't quite know what your person is, so you should just explain that. Then I go to page, another page that I numbered is page 4, and it uses email. I've got three questions here. That's for your presentation. With the first part that you're concerned about, this is now in terms of actual notices, and you are concerned about the technological system of actual, which is not normally your approach. You are saying that system must be your approach. Now, there must be something behind it, as you're writing it. What is the problem with this? The second one is the whole area that deals with the second bullet on that. You can just explain so that we understand the uniqueness part. Somebody did point to this one. But the most important part that you're talking about is the uniqueness. It refers to a ritual or rehabilitation process of in terms of the offender. And you say there must be consideration that must be applied on this. So, again, I'm asking, when you say consideration of application, the law as it what is written is the law, it's applicable to everybody. So this way of consideration, we will not know what to say. Now, are you talking here that you are suggesting a waiver of some sort, or some waiver that because you are unique, the law should not apply to you, there should be some degree of a sunset clause to the reference to taxi an offender that you must now be treated differently? And if you say so, what is that difference that you see? So that we know you have proposal in this regard, what do you mean by this? Because it seems to be a worrying thing for you, a big one. It is a worry, and there's no answer, there is no answer, it's not a worry. But here you're considering, you're saying quite something very, very important, but we need to know what actually you mean by that. So you agree and disagree at the same time. So the specific answer will be better so that you know you don't agree here, you don't agree here. You agree in principle, but you don't quite agree with the interpretation. Which one must be taken? Because this must be specific when you know that you know this. Over that page you're talking about the taxi operations and the effect of it, and that's life. You have something there which I think is important to have to say. You speak about 3 hours. And then for what you say, because someone was driving a car. 20 hours if you observe the law, it cannot become a target. A target is something that you say, I'm planning now to do this. So here, either you say, and further that's on that same paragraph, you just talk about the whole, the Northern Collection, which is a, another part that came out of my conversation. That you stop where it's passing the big stop. That will become an infringement. Now, what do you say about that? Because the situation of the public transport, the taxi is not going to change tomorrow. That you're going to, the problem is that you can't have stop everywhere where a passenger that wants to get off and get on. So it's not going to be, it's not going to be, you want to, it's impossible in transport to plan that way. That you're going to have so many stops, but you don't know where I'm going to offer, or where I'm going to get off, where I'm going to pick up a passenger. Somehow, we've got to say straight this one. It's a red figures. That yes, you agree, but understand that we are going to continue to operate because we don't have stops or bus stop or taxi. We will stop where passengers begin to ask us to stop. Is that what you mean? Or am I reading too much into it? The last. Okay, let me the concern about the restrictions that we talk about. What do we really mean in the last few years? If you can just explain that the criminalization of minor traffic road offenses could be exacerbated on the offenders. What you really mean by this? Because remember, in terms of the road, there is something that driver commits, which is the problem of driving, and there's something that the owner commits by not having a proper wheel for the car and the car is defective. That's the problem of the owner. But here, I wasn't sure what your point is in that school. If you could just explain that so that I understand.
Thank you very much. Honorable Khadere, you're heartily welcomed. We've been listening to you in action, and I hope you're fine now.
Apologies, Chef, for arriving late. Indeed, the concerns of the Saitama. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to engage with one of the registration, which some of the members of the Saitama performed in, raised their concerns. But also mentioned, specified what Santiago was also saying here in the document, that they appreciate the addition of SLS's image versus the other communication system. But what they also mentioned is that the challenge that they also have with Santiago, that owners, whenever they are hiking, is what a problem. For example, if a tail light has been broken or tires are not being well fixed, but the driver is insisted that he must transport his vehicle. The owner doesn't want to take responsibility when a ticket is given, which must be able to find and solve that particular problem. Because it was mentioned, I think, about two or three listeners, that the owners refuse to take responsibility, which is a very much important aspect, that they find themselves when they travel from Nelspruit to Johannesburg. When they arrive in Johannesburg, they found that ticket has been oil, when they get
they are collecting a bigger amount of money, which is becomes a disadvantage for them, and might think what's happening to about, as they say. But when they come back, try to negotiate to the owner said, no, I paid the ticket. Well, the ticket was not paid. But one of the other dimensions is that they want to pay the ticket later, after the 10 days notice has expired, which I think CEO of Artea, we must be able to fix up the issue of the time frame. But most of the drivers, the fortunate part is that I spoke to a driver from Nelspruit, a driver from Peter Thief, you know, different kind of areas, which shows a spectrum of which the communication was engaged on. Maybe the other issue, the issue of the territory business, is I don't know how to deal with it yet, because they have an outcry, they sometimes they get the information late, but some of them, they go and travel far away, and then when they come back, the time is not enough for them to go and read. How do we deal with issues of maybe extending the issue of territory days, maybe at least overnight, but you get the 60 days notice. That's what they requested. I'm just raising this because it's some of the issues that I said to them yesterday. I'll be able to raise to the portfolio committee. It was very much important that you must engage with. Lastly, they also mentioned that some of the taxes that so that's the second. You don't take that opportunity. Maybe you can be able to explain to us what is the challenge. Because they have found themselves driving those taxis in the local, and at the same time, they find themselves having accidents with those taxis because they are acting on quotas right now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Hadere.
Those who were who
who are the beneficiaries of everything and everything that is there. And it's only the Department of Transport that is talking to this matter. We're not talking about the Department of Social Development, we're not talking about the Department of Health, and everybody that is involved, the police and everybody that is involved. So if you look at this that we're trying to do, we're trying to say it's one step of the middle steps that we must take in making sure that our roads are safe as a community, as a community. And as has been indicated by my colleagues here, 68% of the commuters are in your good health. And therefore, it becomes, you are obliged to obey by the rules of the road. You are obliged to make sure that you uphold the law. And those issues that have been, and the sentiments that you're sharing in your document, that some way you have to be cognizant of the root act in a particular time. I'm not sure, but you will be responding to some of the issues that have been raised. We are looking at you as those who must uphold the law. We are looking at you who must obey the rules of the road. And like Honorable Masamba was saying, when you're driving behind the text, it becomes an entertainment because you are able to see all those posters that are there in the taxi. Put your head away from my window because of this because those kind of love alone. But it's very entertaining, and we take it that it is very critical that you are able to do things in a manner that will make sure that our roads are safe, our commuters are safe, with the critical issues of the social investment and economic investment at the same time. These are the two critical things that we should be able to do as a team in this way. Thank you very much. No barrage here.
Thank you, Chair. I think in terms of the representation of this delegation, we are still trying to get to the point where we will get ready to come to the taxi industry by choice and not by default in that way. In that way we will be able to elect them, and because they came to us, because they wanted to. But I must say, we've got the woman there, seen some thousands, it's a sensitive lady from all over the country, and it is alive and it's kicking. And next time when we come before the committee, we will be certain to bring the chairperson on that structure. In terms of the feedback that we received from the committee, I think when you talk, lots of things were said, many questions were asked, but some of those questions were also responded to by the members of the committee. So, as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking contrary to popular belief, colonialism does not take into account the fact that we need the world of the hours of operation, it's not always the same driver that is operating the vehicle for the 16 hours. And you saw in our document that the driver is on the road for 8.7 hours per shift. But it would be very good if this committee can assist us to look at ways how the safety industry can also be subsidized in order for us to formally employ these drivers in a way then that we will comply with the basic conditions of employment. We would really want to do that. But the cost of doing business for us is not justifying that. I think if we look at what happened in the beginning of 2016, the bus companies, when they were not paid their subsidies, they were crying foul and saying that if they don't pay us for another month, we will be out of business. But we are still here in spite of the fact that we don't receive that type of subsidy. In terms of the issue of e-tolls, the playing fields are just not level. And it will not be level unless if we get rid of those type of officials that have been named, or not named, but pointed to in the Gauteng report that was commissioned last year by MEC Harvey. Because we are exempted from paying e-tolls, but in order for us to be exempted, we must be operating license holders. And the Department of Transport in Gauteng is just unable, for some reason, to issue operating license. Now, I'm not an expert on that, but I would like to know how is it possible that the department that is constitutionally tasked with making sure that they adjudicate application of operating licenses are unable to do so. The less I say about that, the better for all of us. I've just explained why we have a problem with the fact that we are exempted but not exempted. If you look at the statistics regarding road crashes, you'll know that the taxi industry is only responsible for between 2.5% and 3% of us. So this is a very safe industry. But we are not satisfied with that figure. We want to improve on that. And that's the reason why we are 100% behind the tax. The issue of the NLTA, I think you noted that the minister on the 1st of December got a court order to stop something that was going to be implemented, I think, on the 8th of December, where all permits and operating licenses should be for a definite period, while many of us in the industry, over the length and breadth of the country, are in possession of operating licenses that are for an indefinite period. It becomes a very bad thing for us when governments say that this right that I've given you for an indefinite period, I'm now taking it away and I'm going to give you a license for a definite period. It makes it very difficult for one to plan your life. Most of us, we don't have other businesses. This is what we do for a living. This is how we send our children to school. This is how we pay for the food that we eat. This is how we pay for the roof of our head. And now government is bringing, because it has been done already, is bringing a huge uncertainty to our life. I don't think that it's fair on the decision. And that, I think, needs to be reviewed. Also, the issue of the transit that was mentioned here, we need to look at that. Because it reduces the earning capacity of safety operators. I said we implementation, the implementation of this BRT has now been devolved to local government. And local government is not necessarily looking at what the Act is saying. Because if you, I'm making an example, if you look at what the Act says, they need to negotiate with affected operators. Now in Cape Town, they added to that affected operators a word that is not in the Act directly affected now. Which means they isolated the operators in that network from those whom they negotiated. And I don't think that is fair. Because if we discuss a route, for instance, from Cape Town to York, obviously there are operators that brings people from Berar to York. There are operators that brings people from Patton Island to Cape Town so that they can board the taxi. And all of those people need to be taken into consideration. So I really want the portfolio committee to look at that application of the Act and what it says. In terms of the operation that was referred to in Mpumalanga, we will look into that issue and in some way, shape or form, we will come back to the committee on that one. On the owner versus the driver, whatever that, the owner don't want to pay, he finds it linked to his vehicle. We cannot condone that because if my vehicle is not in a state to be on the road, I must fix it before I give it to a driver. So it's not that we don't need to deal with it. The issue of scraping, maybe I must just elaborate on that a little bit. When we agreed to scraping in 2006, we were not aware that our country is going to become a dumping site for inferior vehicles. We bought the vehicles in good faith. Those vehicles, as one of my members has indicated, you buy the vehicle in South End, you take it to East London. By the time you get to East London, the vehicle is on a flatbed. And the family said, but, Tata, we thought you were going to buy a new vehicle, you are towing this thing. That's what's happening. And we are asking government to look at, because the scraping criteria is that the vehicle that was manufactured after September 2006 cannot be scrapped. Yet we bought those vehicles in good faith. And we need to relook at that clause in this review of the scraping process of the DRP. I'm not going to say more about that, I've just made that one example, but there are many challenges. If I don't have an operating license, I cannot scrap. In Gauteng, we sit with something like 63,000 vehicles, taxi vehicles on the road. We have about 30,000 permits operating licenses, which means 50% of Gauteng will never be able to scrap unless something is about, it's done about the inability of the housing department to issue permits or operating licenses. The deferral of offenders, oh yeah. When you talk about the deferral of offenders and you talk about the technology and whatever else, I think it is wise to say that we need to be given more time, not 32 days, but more time to deal with that part. Because we don't drive the vehicles ourselves. when we get that notice, we sometimes need to go back into our books and see who drove the vehicle on that particular day, and then inform agents that Mr.
again on the question of Tlhokomelo. I just want to convey a message of appreciation, especially to the three provinces where we are getting a lot of support for Tlhokomelo, especially KwaZulu-Natal. That is the province that is behind us. It's actually giving whatever they can to support Tlhokomelo and to state as well. I believe Mr. Cave is also following, but the rest, well, they are still too behind. If we may go in terms of the percentage, possibly, if my memory serves me right, when we started it in 2010, we were at plus minus 15%, but after we started Tlhokomelo, it dropped down to 6%. That is the number of people that actually were involved in the accidents on this pathway. But I believe in 2013 and 2014 it went up again. Now we are having that challenge where we believe we are still appealing to our government to see if it's that they give us support. Let me just make an example of what is matter. The government knows very well that we're not getting any subsidy. We're just competing with other modes of transport that have been subsidized. And as we're explaining about the recap thinking that it was going to serve the peoples of affordability, but unfortunately it's not. And they provided KwaZulu-Natal with a number of members to support of Tlhokomelo. And if you look at our provinces, I'm coming from the Eastern Cape. We are negotiating with our department, and we even go out of our way to see to it that we provide during the busy times like December, Easter, where we have our own venues that we are organizing to see to it that we are doing the monitoring for the safety of our people, because we believe the safety of our people is a priority. So, all in all, I'm trying to appeal to the government again to say, give us support. We are running business. Our intention is not to give. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon. I think the question was asked what is needed to assist. Part of the assistance that the ongoing training program is the training officer has alluded to, in order not to use punitive measures on taxi drivers, you know, and becoming victims of paying huge amounts of fines which they need to sustain their families. And I think with regards to the BRT challenges, we are being divided currently as Santaco by the local authority, especially in the Western Cape. And when there's problems, Santaco has been called to interact and to engage on a certain level. With regards to the killings in the taxi industry, we are heavily against losing lives in the industry, and especially where innocent people are being killed through taxi violence. And I want to appeal, we know there are certain groups shooting at certain groups. The POCA law should be implemented, should be exercised, the same that they use on the gangsters, where they apprehend the leaders of those groups. And I think with that, we will be able to stop the killings in the taxi industry. We are not in the South African National Defense Force. We are not in Vietnam. We are responsible for transporting over 21 million people on a daily basis. I think it's interesting.
Thank you very much. I can see the two heads for that we started the deck in the program of the government. Probably will be the month of the SG.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to put more emphasis on the Tshwane pilot. SDS responded to it, but the key issue to say what we have meant. what he was referring to is if you look into infrastructure, which are the so-called indicated lanes, nothing has been put into plan in the country takes. Hence, it then means that 78% that we are speaking of is left outside and outside being exposed to the ARDO negative implications. Our wish is to comply, but if there is no infrastructure for the taxi to provide dedicated service for the 78%, then obviously that is where you then find yourself in the situation we are. In terms of planning, then we have done it by self. Thank you.
Yes, Madam Chair. Support of ARDO is primarily dependent on committed law enforcers on the road. It has been repeated that for as long as law enforcers have interest in Texas business, ARDO will not be successful. Because these traffic officers are the ones who don't have necessary authority to do business, and they collaborate with groups that are not compliant. So we need to legislate accordingly that traffic officers, to be specific, should not directly or indirectly have interest in the taxi business. And they must also declare at the point of contract.
Thank you very much. Before the Secretary General speaks, I think it will be an omission on our part not to talk at the portfolio committee, knowing very well that this is not but there are certain things which have been in the testing that cannot go without us as a portfolio committee talking to yourself around. I'm happy because you have already raised challenges that are there in terms of the dispute concerning the case which you have seen. I'm putting over and over again and rejection as a portfolio committee condemn, but we want to say and engage, believe that we want to dismiss the police and the defense and the traffic are being implemented, but we believe that we should always impress upon them that it is doing a disservice to the business, nothing to be done about whether it's difficult to function with the image of the business. But within the same time, as a woman, it is wrong, it will never be right. Race is race, it will never be right at any cost. We must, as this portfolio committee, condemn what we have read in the newspaper in terms of what has been happening in your industry, where you see a situation, and I mean, in race in front of your child. That's the worst crime that can happen, because why are you saying to this 10-year-old that this is how we as officers are all about it? It can't be right, and on behalf of this committee, we want to condemn in the strongest terms this that we have read in Japan, we have seen in the industry, because we appreciate the fact that the industry is one of those big industries unsupported by government. We really appreciate it, and we want to work with you as to how can we deal with it. But we cannot allow a situation where this industry was able to go to this level on its own without any support from government is now being derailed. To me, I think that the rage and the killings which are happening, the justice that are there, if unresolved, it will definitely derail your business, and everybody will be running away from the business in the future. Is there? And honorable members, I felt I should
I'm spoken to before I give to the Secretary General of San Tato to do some closing remarks and then tell you. I don't know if there's still other members that honorable members wanted to name before the Secretary General does the remarks. Let me give honorable Defraitas, honorable Musina, and then I will come back to you again. Honorable Kerbo.
Thank you, Chair. All the colleagues asked a similar question, and I'd like to have an answer. What's the bottom line? What would you want to, how would you want to accommodate in the Archer Act? What is it that you want to, what, and I think what our colleagues asked in a different way. We want to be able to, that's what this engagement is about. So if we could just focus on that. What is it that the taxi industry wants to be out in any kind of terms that we can accommodate? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think we are making good progress, although more issues are being mentioned, which I'm sure we would want to engage in a follow-up meeting. But since we are dealing with ARPU specifically, what I heard and which I would want you to probably give us an idea of how you visualize this to be taken up in a future legislation. I hear that there is a particular problem in terms of the nomination or designation of a driver once an infringement notice has been issued. Are you suggesting that there should be different time frames? For instance, when you deal with an organization of your sort, also then thinking about the wider context, like car rental companies. So the moment when you're dealing with a conglomerate of vehicle services in a type of situation where there's a necessity within the structure then to have time to then designate or nominate, would you suggest that we consider a type of differentiated schedule? Is that your sort of line of thinking? And then on a lighter note, although we take it seriously, are you also suggesting that we should consider a demerit point system for traffic officers? Because it seems like, you know, we should also, you know, put that good money together. If you could, you know, along those lines, give us specifics, because that's what we need to get to. Although we hear and we understand the environment, we've had a lot of participation, a lot of engagement, a lot of inputs. So in particular, focusing now on the taxi industry and your environment, give us real practical stuff that we should consider. Thank you for what we've achieved so far.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I wanted to talk on the perceived infrastructure backlog that was talking to. I wanted to make a suggestion, if it is not happening, for the industry not to let go those development and planning initiatives. They must participate because they're in those platforms, because there are major planning initiatives that are happening there at metro and municipal levels. Thank you.
Go on. Let me give to... Sorry. Oh, what are
you going to say? We will have time when the department will have to clarify the definitions before the meeting. There are comments that you think there are issues. Thank you, sir.
I thought that Secretary will talk and then that if I some the issues that have been raised, you will be the first one to speak and that the people will speak last and then
Chairperson, yeah, thank you very much. I think we as a taxi industry, Zako is not saying that we want preferential treatment, but, and we know there is no law enforcement and law enforcement much aware. But we want, we always want lawmakers to take into consideration the fact that the taxi industry is very unique in the way that it operates, in the way that it is disadvantaged by health infrastructure, in the way that it is disadvantaged by those law enforcement officers that take the taxi industry for ATM, in the way that those that are from the law enforcement fraternity that are involved in the taxi industry, how they treat arrival of an individual. And when it comes to what we are saying to this committee today is that not every infringement should lead to demerit, because very soon you'll find that we don't have taxi operators with the driver's license. And that's the fact of the matter and the crux of what we are saying to the committee. Not all infringements should lead to the point demerit. We are asking that respectfully to this committee, and we are prepared to discuss that with RTN if there's a need to do that. We had numerous meetings with us here. We are very happy with the progress that we made today. But Artia cannot enact something that say not all infringements were related to demerit. So we are asking the committee to look into it. I think that is what I wanted to say with regard to the question that was raised by all members. Definitely not responded to that. Thank you, Honorable. I was going to, when I raised my hand about this, because Sally Shoyen had to be pointed out to me, did not respond to that. In terms of the planning meetings, you know, most instances of taxi violence come about as a result of the taxi industry being excluded from planning. Just recently at the Mall of Africa, there was a classic example of it. These taxis operate daily past there, but when that infrastructure was planned, there were not once called and say, how do you think the taxi operation should be run from this facility? The same way with settlements that are called. And I really think government should look at that. We can't go and kick doors down and say we insist to be part of this. Government is being a responsible government of the people, for the people, by the people, must make sure that government approach interested parties and say, this is what we are planning to do and we need your input. The members mentioned taxi violence. Oh, I can't not say anything about that. Taxi violence is not just a result of greedy operators, but it also comes about as a result of our provincial regulating entities issuing licenses on the same rules of established associations. And that is something that this committee also needs to seriously look into. I hope that can be very soon, because we want to get rid of that feeling. One member said we are not in the defense force, and I agree with that. We don't want to see people being killed, and it is usually innocent passengers that are killed. As a taxi operator, I am own, and drivers are being killed. And they are, I don't think they should be killed. They are innocent victims of circumstances. And as Santiago, we strongly condemn taxi violence. We We don't want to see that. And government must work with us to eradicate safety violence once and for all. When it comes to this unsavory news that made the headlines over the weekend, I'm at loss for words. Because no safety driver is employed and then told no way. We condemn that in the strongest possible terms. In fact, even before these instances was made public, we have an agreement with Sonke Gender Justice, and our president has been traveling the length and the breadth of the country. Unfortunately, there is not enough finances to go to each and every rank. But those ranks that we visited, we went there with one message. Gender violence is a taboo from the leadership of the safety of Sultan. We can never and will never agree to gender violence. Homophobic instances, we cannot agree with it, including xenophobia. Our president made it very clear on the roadshow that he had to the rank that we could visit with our limited resources. Unfortunately, we cannot reach every single rank in the country. Chairperson, I want to thank this committee for the opportunity that you gave us at the 11th hour to become part of making inputs into the outcome. We really appreciate it, and we want to work with this committee to make sure that we change the face of public transport. Not take the safety industry out of the road, but have a more compliant safety industry that has respect for the rules of the road, and take into consideration the fact that the roads are shared space, and that we must do our part in terms of
Thank you very much, Mr. General. Mr. Honorable members of the portfolio committee and the colleagues from Mr. Tako. I think we want to first and foremost apologize for our acting director general who could not come here today. Because of other commitments, as we all know what is happening in the High Court in Pretoria, so he had to go there and support the team in the High Court. So I think from our side, we will look into the issues of support from Santaco insofar as this act is concerned, this deal is concerned. We really appreciate that there is support from Santaco insofar as this deal is concerned. We also want to echo our congratulatory remarks insofar as that is concerned. So the issue, the second one on the issues of the public transport general strategy, I think that one, I fully agree, Chairperson, that we shall have to have a special system engagement with our branch, the public transport branch, that to give us an updated progress in so far as the general strategy is concerned, where we'll be talking about the taxi industry being subsidized, what that has been raised now again, and also looking at the issues of the taxi rehab. I think those are quite critical, which I've been listening here coming very strongly, to say how we do that. And those implications that seem to be some impediment in terms of the taxi rehab itself, and also the variance in terms of cost of the more like a fund avenue of the IRs and them. I think those are the issues that we needed maybe to engage on. But at a more strategic session of a general strategy for public transport in South Africa, I think I really applaud that should take place. The issue of local land transport act that is also here, that is in front of the portfolio committee. And I want to believe that the legal mind has been making those notes insofar as separating which ones are operational, which ones are legislative, so that we can settle them in when we are coming to the dealings with the PPA spec on land transport. On the governmental issues, I think it's quite good, it's very humbling, Chairperson and all members of the portfolio, for what the tech industry is doing, insofar as coming to the party with the Department of Transport to deal with these fatal tree killing and crashes on our roads. I think we need to applaud them. I know that KZN left, and now we are trying to spread across the country in making sure that they are of the part and parcel of road safety and United Nations, which is the 2020 vision. So we very appreciate that. I think they need to be encouraged by Parliament to make sure that they also participate across the country, not necessarily in doing provinces only as they are doing. So we as the Department of Transport, we are fully supportive of that. And we need more than 59%, 58% of our commuters across the country. That's where they get exposed on our road network because of crashes. So we would like them to be physically there with us, that we are just crossing the country in terms of road safety, in making sure that we are together. And also, and all these unroadworthy COVID, we must place their feet with them on the road so that they can see that we are together, with them. It's not us and them, not government versus us. But we want to make sure that whatever is in the system, our road system is clean and it's roadworthy so that we can save lives and move forward. This issue of conflicted officials, this is quite a serious matter. You remember, Chairperson and members and other members of the portfolio committee, that we are faced with a similar matter, Chairperson, with the cross-border in Marseille. They are also implicating some other officials about these issues. Conflicted, they own vehicles, yet they are owners. They are law enforcement, yet they are operators. So if we were dealing with the government officials, if there are issues like that, we need names. And we've been talking to the cross-border operators, who are also members of SANTACO, to say, let us have those names of people to be sent to the MEC of Free State, to the Minister of Transport, so much confidentiality, so that we can deal with them and engage with the SIU, the HOC, and all the law enforcement agencies to deal with this, because I fully agree. When you deal with these issues at the, in the transport sector, in the transport industry, particularly in the industry, in the tech industry, we never ever clean up the industry, not unless the system is clean. So let us clean the system together, bring forward all suspects that you have, suspicions that you have, bring forward to us. Then we'll engage with relevant law enforcement agencies to root out those kind of corrupt officials in the system. So you cannot have be a law enforcer and at the same time you defeat the ends of justice. We do not want that. So please, I'm appealing to the industry here, SANTACO, as we've been saying with the cross-border issues as well, that please come forward with those allegations. We will investigate and get to the bottom of it. So I'm still appealing to the portfolio committee that let's follow that and let's deal with those issues head on. Well, coming to the issues of operating licenses and some exemptions, in fact, it's quite sad that we are not coming for us, you are not scrapping or also getting exemptions because your documents are not issued to yourself. I think let us assist SANTACO, let's work together at the national level with the ministry and public transport units also to work with the government of Saudi, especially MEC Vati, to unlock this bottleneck. And I think let us volunteer as public transport through our branch, public transport, to engage and see where the bottlenecks are in Saudi, so that we can all unlock this location, so that you can benefit from the exemptions on toll and also to be able to be encouraged to come forward and do this credit, because the facilities are there. It's just a matter of being compliant. If we are also the impediment in terms of your compliance, please talk to us and then you can update our other level of government, which is the problem, in making sure that those opinions are addressed. The issue of public transport facilities
it's a matter of integrated planning between the municipalities and the province and the national. But the issue of the intermodal facilities is the responsibility of the municipality. The fact the drainage facilities and stuff like that. So what is happening in the Mbogo forest, for instance, if it's going to be replicated across the country, let us have a uniform approach. Like, this is a good success, it's a success story, how we can roll it out across the country. But it's the responsibility of a municipality to identify a regional facility or intermodal facility. I was very impressed with what we, as you were saying, in terms of what happened in the Mall of Africa. There were things we do not want to see them repeating, because you could see that there was no proper regional facilities for the taxi, and yet the people were going through the mall in numbers, in millions. So that's kind of a disjuncture in the training phases between us. I think we need to close the debate and deal with it head on. So those are the two things I wanted us to highlight, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I will just touch on three key issues, taking on from what the DDG, Mr. Fabisa, has indicated. We start firstly by expressing our appreciation for the input that has been made. We take note of the concerns where applicable from SANTACO. They've emphasized the strategic partnership that has been developed between SANTACO, the RTIA, as well as the Department of Transport. That we truly appreciate it. And it is in the nature of this kind of strategic partnership, recognizing that all of us make joint contributions towards the attainment of the idealistic state of increasing road safety. We do not always 100% agree on the things that have been done and on the things that need to be done. But however, we are extremely proud of the respect and the nature in which we dispense with our responsibilities pursuant to the strategic partnership. So their confirmation of that, we say that gratefully, and we continue to show our express commitment to do that. There's also issues that we mentioned in respect to the service of documents. I acknowledge also the decision that has been made by Honorable Khadebe and Honorable Ramatakane. Honorable Hamzinga also raised questions in respect of that together with Honorable De Fraser. I want to give confirmation also to the Secretary General. We have taken heed of those challenges in respect of the time frame given for the service of documents. In terms of the current legislation, it says service must be effected within 40 days. And similarly, the infringer has got a 32-day period within which to be able to act. We have considered those, and these are already included in the draft regulation. Members have requested those in the draft regulations that we had updated. Here, I'm just opening them up. We had last updated them on the 13th of February 2017. In respect of Regulation 2, this is what is also being provided. So, Secretary General, we can give confirmation that we have considered those. We're going to increase the time period that the proposal is putting back to a period of 60 days. Regulation 2 of the ARPO regulations, we say in accordance with Regulation 33.4 on forms similar to ARPO 3 or ARPO 3E as shown in Schedule 1, the infringement notice must be served within 60 days of the commission of the infringement. So you do have an increase in respect of the time period that would be served. We recognize that it does take some time given the complex nature and the vicarious responsibility of the owner vis-a-vis the driver of those motor vehicles. Similarly, there's also going to be a lot of progress that has been made in respect of the electronic service. Honorable Khadebe also expressed that in his engagement with the constituencies around Mpumalanga, people were saying if we have electronic service, then it will be able to increase the compliance in respect of that. Honorable Ramatakane has also indicated when we're talking to the third category of the points payment system, but Secretary General Billet also has made a request that not all infringement notices that should carry the main point. We want to give you that confirmation right away because it is a strategic nature. This is not a point that is new now. We had taken cognizance of that through the years of engagement, Secretary General, that we have had with Santiago. So, and other stakeholders have made that input, and the decision has been made that we are not going to allocate the main point to each and every one of the infringement notices. So that is the first thing. Secondly, the scientific formula that is made for the calculation of the demerit points to be allocated is dependent on the probability of a particular infringement either in resulting in death or serious injury, so that you make direct input to the increase of road safety in that respect. It is what is provided in terms of Section 29 of the Act. There's a secondary element that has been raised in respect of this issue. That's why Honorable Ramasakane was making further comments on that. If the category of drivers, it might be taxi drivers, it might be bus drivers, those categories that are exposed to driving for long periods, one would automatically expect that, as we believe in the adage that practice makes perfect, the more they are able to drive, the better they will get at driving again. And in that respect, one does not expect them to commit more infringement than an ordinary driver. So, being fair and honest to the process, we've got to be able to consider both sides of the argument. In terms of what is provided in Regulation 24, it is at this point putting the threshold of the demerit at the level of 12. Given the number of infringements that are categorized in Schedule 3, we recognize the arguments that have been very generally and widely supported, that the RTA needs to consider increasing the threshold for the demerit point from 12 to another scientific determined number. That we acknowledge, and we can safely say, yes, it has found support that we will then look at increasing the threshold from 12 to an applicable number. It might be 15, it might be 18, according to the submissions that have been made. But secondly, it also comes with a certain degree of balance, because it's not every single infringement that would carry the demerit point. It is also going to be nonsensical if our members would have gone to a particular retailer at the end of the month doing their groceries, and he overstays his welcome at a particular parking spot. You're not going to allocate demerit points to those kind of things. Similarly, in respect of those issues where road safety could be negatively impacted, we would then be able to allocate the applicable demerit point. But I also want to be able to emphasize that the implementation of the demerit point in itself must also be something that is going to be very practical and easy to implement, and something that should easily be known by every one of our drivers, so that they know, if I do this, this is the implication, and this is the result, and this is the punishment that could be there. So we recognize the positive input that have been made, and we truly appreciate it. We continue engaging with the whole process, and the committee will give us guidance on that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Just one last one for the testing, that so to understand that in terms of the junior sports, those responsibilities are public health and drivers. We must just ensure that they understand the facts. We are also trying to protect both parties by making sure that if the vehicles are not roadworthy, the driver sees a penalty in terms of that. And if that driver is not going to carry the points, he will, however, have to pay a fine because he can't move the vehicle, but he's not going to carry the main points. But the operator car of that vehicle will have the main points and will suspend. So those are the issues that the city has to need to understand, and when we engage fair, we have to make sure that the system is located and can assist them to identify those issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I think from the department and us here, we've got a lot of work to do, because at the same time, capacity building, education, because when you were talking that each way, you indicated that people must understand the demand system, and they can only understand and do that if we give ourselves time to promote this act and be able to show, to make sure that the end users are the ones who really understand the act better than anything else. Honorable members, it looks like we are done with the presentation from Santaco. Secretary General of Santaco, the whole team from Santaco. Let me heartily thank you for the presentation that you have made, and say that SP Center is your support for the outdoor, the way you have been educated. We are looking forward to finalizing all the process when we come back from research. Very nice. Thank you very much for taking your time to come and make a presentation to us. And we believe that this, like we have indicated, we indicated the challenges that we are having in the next region. And these are the things that we will be able to take up as a portfolio committee to say how we now work with yourself and the department to make sure that the issues that we are having. Anyway, it was part of what we were intending to do to make sure that we talk to the issues of the test that we can, because it has been revised by the department, but we were also factoring some of the things that we have indicated to us to say when we do meet with the unit on a public transport, we will factor in the things that we have raised. Honorable members, can you have a 5 minutes comfort break while Santaco is leaving, so that you can be able to go